Mary Tyler Moore, as her character, Mary Richards, was 30, newly single, and looking for a fresh start in the big city.
How will you make it on your own? This world is awfully big. Girl, this time you're all alone.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show debuted September 19th, 1970, and over a seven-year run, became one of the most influential series in TV history, helped redefine the modern American woman, at least as seen on TV, and put Mary's big city, Minneapolis, on the map.
Well, I grew up in Fargo there. I mean, oh geez, we were, you know, a long ways from the cities, but growing up in Fargo and looking at Minneapolis as seen through television was a tremendously exciting place to be. I couldn't wait to get down here.
James Lilacs is a columnist for the Star Tribune.
And I did. I ended up going to the University of Minnesota and then actually ended up working in the building that Mary Richards worked in. And so I found myself sort of retracing the steps of that show, either consciously or otherwise.
For those of you who've never seen the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which if you're younger than 40 is likely, the sitcom followed Mary Tyler Moore's character as she met the challenges and triumphs of a working woman who'd come out of the 1960s with a belief in her dreams, yet still had to confront an all-male workplace that hadn't caught up with the times. Mary's workplace was the fictional Minneapolis TV station WJM, presided over by the gruff but likable boss Lou Grant, played by Ed Asner.
What religion are you?
Mr. Grant, I don't quite know how to say this, but you're not allowed to ask that when someone's applying for a job. It's against the law.
Want to call a cop?
No.
Good. Would you think I was violating your civil rights if I asked if you're married?
Presbyterian.
James Lilacs.
Well, I'd hoped that I would get up here and find all the archetypes of the newsroom. You would have Lou Grant, of course, war vet, like everybody's dad, and somebody you could count on. You'd find a clever, sharp fellow like Murray, always there with a withering quip. You'd find Mary, of course, if you were lucky. And then you'd probably find some Ted Baxter character that you could look down on because he was, of course, a buffoon.
Reality struck. James Lilacs' Minneapolis wasn't Mary Richards' Minneapolis. And in fact, Mary Richards' Minneapolis was mostly a studio in Los Angeles, except for certain exterior shots and the memorable opening sequence, which shows Mary driving to downtown, taking a stroll on Lake of the Isles. That was the real Minneapolis, filmed originally in February 1970 and updated during the 7 years of the series. Mary's fictional studio apartment had a real address on Kenwood Parkway. In later seasons, she moved to what's now called Riverside Plaza. Her workplace, located in the Midwest Federal Savings and Loan Building, is now the RSM Plaza at 801 Nicollet Mall. Lilacs, too, found his way to a Twin Cities TV station, KTCA, where in 1986, Lilacs scripted and starred in My Mary, which you can now find on YouTube.
The idea was to come up with a character who was obsessed with Mary Tyler Moore and have the film crew follow him around. He thinks they're doing a documentary about the opening credits. They're doing a documentary about this weird guy. But it was a way to do a story about the locations and what they meant to Minneapolis.
Look, there's Mary crossing the Nicollet Mall, ideally to a better clothing store. Wait a minute, freeze that, hold it. See, her feet do not touch the ground. Proof that she is the saint. You know she is.
But that's the thing. For fans of the TV series, those locations are Minneapolis. So in February 2017, 47 years after Mary Tyler Moore and her crew filmed the original sequence, Lilacs takes me on a tour of some of the most popular destinations.
Well, here we are.
Where are we?
We are at the IDS Center.
We take an elevator up to Basil's, where in the opening sequence, you can see Mary laughing uproariously with a friend, in actuality, the actress's husband.
And I wonder if there's nobody there at the present, if I could just sit and speak
for
a few seconds.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, it's occupied.
I expected as much.
No dice. But we did learn that people call in advance to request the Mary Tyler Moore table. Back on the elevator, we return to Skyway level for the next destination, the IDS Center escalator.
This escalator is contrary to everything that Mary stood for. It's going down. Mary took that one.
Mary was the kind of person who was going up. She was a positive, optimistic person. Mary would never take a downward-going escalator. Just wasn't her.
Mary Tyler Moore died only days before our trek, on January 25th, 2017. So as we go along, we find flowers, letters, and other mementos left at the sites, a private language of symbols shared between fans. This is nowhere more evident than at the Mary Tyler Moore statue. But by far the most iconic moment in the opening sequence is the beret toss, where Mary steps into the intersection at 7th and Nicollet and throws her hat in the air. What fans also remember is the passerby in headscarf standing behind Mary, scowling disapprovingly.
This is the corner.
This is the corner. This is the corner.
Okay, so I've got a request. This isn't a beret.
Right.
But can I be this scowling old woman as you throw that? You're going to have to really let me feel your independence as a young woman, a 30-year-old woman just arrived in Minneapolis,
okay? I'm a 57-year-old man from Fargo. There's absolutely no way that I can possibly touch the hem of her plaid skirt. But here we go. Scowl. And there we go. So it tossed, and it didn't do what Mary's hat did. I'm disappointed, because Mary's hat froze. There must have been some magic in that hat she wore that day.
This is Britty for KFAI.